someone please call for me to resign? Please. Yeah. Hey, greetings, truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com. Once again, drafted into duty to be the media right here on your Mike Malloy show. Great to talk to you, truth seekers. We are, of course, broadcasting live from lovely, beautiful downtown Burbank. On the left coast, as the Malloys are taking their summer break for a few days here. So we're going to be with you for the next today and tomorrow, and then a couple days next week. And really delighted to be back. Delighted that you can be here with us. Hey, by the way, stop on by bradblog.com right now. Jump into the chat room and start making some noise there, if you like. Raise some hell right at the top of the blog, bradblog.com. You click through, you can find it. If you can't read the instructions to get to the chat room at Bradblog, we don't want you there anyway. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start. There is so much going on, so much crap going on, frankly. My hope was, I'm going to try to start with the good news, because after I get rid of the good news, you know, in about 2 or 3 minutes, then, oh, it's all downhill from there. The whole rest of the show, it's going to get ugly. I'm sorry to say, but that's what's going on in this country right now. You can also participate with the show. You can tweet me in your underwear or otherwise at The Brad Blog. That's right, The Brad Blog. You can reach me via the Twitters there. You may also be able to call into the show today at, what's our phone number? 877-520-1150. Write it down. Not taking calls immediately here, but write it down, because you're going to want to call. You're going to want to get in. You're going to want to use your public airwaves. And I'm going to try to set aside as much time as I can for that. 877-520-1150 will be the phone number. Don't call the Malloys. They're off on a well-deserved summer break. In this program, in this very studio live, I'm told, coming up in the second hour, we will have, get ready, I'm sure this is a Mike Malloy first. I haven't heard from Mike whether it is or not, but I can't imagine this is not a Mike Malloy show first. We will have a Republican presidential candidate live tonight for an hour on the Mike Malloy show. I wanted to pause there because I could hear the heads exploding across the nation, and I just wanted to, that's right. Coming up in the second hour, a Republican, 2012 Republican presidential candidate. Which one? Should I tell them, or should I just tease it for a while? Tease it? Okay. Tony Sorrentino, our engineer here, T-Sore, as we call him, especially tonight after his surgery this week, T-Sore says to tease it out. All right, we'll tease it out. Presidential candidate, Republican presidential candidate, coming up in the next hour, live in studio. You are not going to want to miss it. All kinds of surprises tonight. So let's see. Should I start with the good news? I guess I should. Let's start first with the good news, because it's all going to get terrible from there. There's nothing we can do about it. And I don't know how. I'll be honest. I was listening to Mike Malloy the last couple of nights, and thinking to myself, boy, he needs vacation. He really needs it. I mean, talk about heads exploding, and I don't blame him. I don't know how anybody does this. I'm lucky. I'm a blogger. I'm on the air. I got a little half hour show I do on Pacifica Radio once a week. But other than that, going on the air 5 days a week, dealing with what we're dealing with in this country, dealing with not just the Republicans. Forget about the Republicans. We know they're complete. Shouldn't, insult the Republicans. I got a presidential candidate coming in here second hour for Republicans. I'll be insulting the Republicans. And maybe he will, too. There you go. I just gave one hint. It's a he. So it is not Michelle Bachmann. She's not coming. Neither is Sarah Palin. But anyway, I don't know how they do it. I mean, with so much that's going on in this country, so much bad news, the assault. If you look around the world, they took a vote over the weekend in Italy concerning nuclear power. The people voted against it, 95-5. They put it up on the ballot. Hey, should we have nukes or not? They got rid of them. I mean, or they're going to. In any case, you're going to phase them out. Put them on our ballot. Put them on our, let the people vote on that. That sounds good to me. Germany, they didn't even have to vote on it. Just a couple of weeks ago, they had a protest. They had, some protests in the streets. And Andrea Merkel heard the noise and said, yeah, you know what? We are going to get rid of all nuclear power by 2022. We're not going to build the new plants that we had planned. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to replace it with what? Renewable energy. And by the way, Germany has already made billions in billions of dollars in renewable energy, in solar plants, solar panels. They know what they're doing. You want to talk about jobs, jobs, jobs? There you go. And on this point, I will give Barack Obama some credit. He has been talking. He talks a good game. He doesn't do a good game, but he talks a good game. And he has been talking about the importance of renewable energy as a jobs program. That's your answer. Turn this country, turn this world from the filthy fossil fuels that we're dealing with now every day that are absolutely killing us. We had the a spokesman from the U.S. Forest Service, the head of the U.S. Forest Service, testified this week in Congress saying that the fires in Atlanta are caused, their scientists tell them, are caused due to climate change. They're scientists. Of course, you got to believe in science. And not everybody in the world does anymore, like this huge chunk of the country that call themselves Republicans who don't believe in science. Well, they believe in science, but, you know, the fossil fuel companies told them there's problems with that climate change data, and they believed them because they believe anything. I'll be talking more about that, I suspect, in the next couple of days, because I had somebody on my show out here in L.A. On Wednesday. A Republican, a conservative by the name of D.R. Tucker, who used to think climate change was a hoax and everything else. And then he actually bothered to read the science, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC report from 2007, 900 pages worth, and said, you know, told me yesterday, he couldn't help it. There were so many facts. They were so well supported. There was so much evidence. And he wrote a column over at David Frum's forum. David Frum used to write speeches for George W. Bush, coined the word axis of evil. So this fellow, D.R. Tucker, he wrote a column over there that said, I was defeated by the facts. The facts of climate change. And he, bothered to actually read the science, didn't listen to all his friends who claimed it was a hoax. And what do you know? Now he's a convert. Well, that happens when you bother to read facts. But I promise the good news. Where's the good news? Oh, yeah. Okay, the good news. Stop laughing at me, Tony. T-sore. The good news, a couple of items here that should cheer us up. And frankly, that should cheer up constitutional conservatives, not the fake conservatives, but the real ones, the ones who actually believe in the Constitution, the ones who actually believe in stuff like, equal protection under the law. All right, couple of good news items here. You may have heard this was earlier this week, and if it's old news because it's 2 days old, sorry about that. But I had to find some good news. We had to start somewhere upbeat. So Tuesday, a San Francisco judge, federal judge in San Francisco, upheld the findings of Judge Vaughn Walker, who found that California's Prop 8 violates equal protection rights, and this was now being challenged. This California's Prop 8 banned marriage equality in the state of California. Banned equality in the state of California, and so that is currently being challenged by constitutional conservatives like Theodore Olson, George W. Bush's own Solicitor General, and David Boies, who is Al Gore's presidential election attorney. They got together and said, equal rights, the Constitution, that matters. So they challenged this. Vaughn Walker agreed. Judge Walker agreed that this is a violation of equal protection under the law. And the idiots who challenged that decision said that Judge Walker should have recused himself from the decision. Why? Because Judge Walker is gay. And therefore, he could not make a fair decision on this. Of course, by that same theory, if you had a straight judge, they also couldn't have a finding on this, could they? Also, minority judges would have to recuse themselves in any civil rights case. At least that's what the chief U.S. district judge found when he threw out that and stood up for the rights of the people. That's a nice change of pace, isn't it? So, one victory for rights there. We will have another victory for rights after we take this break. Remember, the good news first. Front-loading the program, and then it's downhill from there. Except for the Republican presidential candidate. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Glad you're with us. Stay tuned. I just got back today. The boys is back in town. Glad you could join us here on the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, who is enjoying a much-deserved summer break for the next few days. Glad you could join us here. Stop by the chat room, which is already up and rolling. A whole bunch of old friends there. They haven't forgotten about us. Delighted to see it. The chat room is at bradblog.com. And, of course, my plans for 3 hours of discussing Anthony Weiner completely gone now. Because, you know, he resigned, and now I'm going to have to find something worthwhile to discuss. I was going to do 3 hours of Anthony Weiner, because I can think of nothing more important to discuss. No, at least our economy is good, at least we're at peace right now, at least, you know, all the political parties are working together to move the country forward, at least all the justices on the Supreme Court have not committed huge crimes for the past 20 years. I'm talking to you, Clarence Thomas. Yeah, I'll be talking about you some more this week. Your insider trading, Clarence Thomas. Did you know, just while I have your attention, did you know that Citizens United, you know, that court decision that allowed corporate money to flow like crazy into elections, into private groups like Clarence Thomas's wife's Ginny's group, Liberty Central. Did you know that decision, Citizens United, the organization itself, Citizens United, 20 years ago when Clarence Thomas was being sworn or having his hearings being confirmed in the Senate? And as folks may remember, in 1991, that was incredibly contentious because he, kind of did the equivalent, actually much worse, the equivalent of, you know, sending pictures of himself over Twitter, except it was much worse because it was to women who wanted him to stop doing that. He was actually harassing women back there in 1991. And in any case, when some senators had some questions about that, group by the name of Citizens United that was just formed actually went to work for Clarence Thomas and put $100,000 worth of television ads on the air attacking the senators who were questioning Clarence Thomas. That was Citizens United 20 years ago. And, of course, 20 years later, when the decision was up, when Citizens United was before the court, did Thomas recuse himself? Of course he didn't recuse himself. Why would he do that? Conflict of interest? Tosh. 5-4 decision. Citizens United was victorious there. Thanks to Clarence Thomas, who seems to have made a whole bunch of money on it himself. But I'll get to that another time. If you want to get an advance information on that, stop by Bradblog and look up insider trading. Judicial insider trading of Clarence Thomas, because I seem to be just about the only one who is covering it. You can also go to protectourelections.org, where my organization, Velvet Revolution, is actually trying to do something about it, actually trying to get some accountability. Okay, before, because I promised the other good news, the Defense of Marriage, and then it's going to go, I promise you, it's going to go straight downhill. Defense of Marriage Act. Also had a loss, so we'll call that a victory. It was once again found to be unconstitutional. This in a California case where a couple who had been married out here, a same-sex couple who had been married out here in California prior to Prop 8 coming in and making that somehow illegal for a while. That's going to change. But this married couple filed for bankruptcy, and the Department of Justice said, oh, no, they can't have federal bankruptcy protection because the Federal Defense of Marriage Act doesn't allow it. It doesn't allow us to recognize same-sex marriage. Not only did the bankruptcy court say the hell with that yes, equal protection for all citizens trumps this unconstitutional Defense of Marriage Act, but 18 of 24 colleagues of the judges on the on this U.S. circuit in the Central District of California agreed, and they came along and they said, you know what? No, that's not how this country works. That law is unconstitutional. We are striking it down. Defense of Marriage Act is gone, or it should be. It's close to gone. Once again, rights win, bigots lose, but it's going to take a while. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. A whole lot more straight ahead. Well, I wake up.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song.
Uh-huh.
Keeps Georgia on my mind.
Now, Georgia might be on my mind anyway, sitting in for Mike Malloy here, who usually broadcasts out of Atlanta or nearby. But it's on my mind for another reason. Brad Friedman here of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. There's another reason, because there's another broadcaster in Atlanta who made some news today. Oh, by the way, coming up next hour, we're having in studio a 2012 presidential candidate, a Republican presidential candidate, I should add, for Mike Malloy first. Which one? Well, let's see. He has been very, very, it's a he, he has been very, very critical of Mitt Romney lately. How's that? He's actually accused Mitt Romney of having broken the law lately. He's actually accused Mitt Romney of having committed voter fraud. Yep. That's right. Fred Karger will be joining us in the next hour. Who? Fred who? That's actually his campaign slogan is Fred who? Yeah, Fred is the first openly gay presidential candidate from one of the major two parties, and he has filed a complaint against Mitt Romney for voter fraud in the state of Massachusetts, and it looks like he's got it just about right. Mitt Romney was claimed to be living in his son's basement when, in fact, he was living out in California or up in New Hampshire, where his homes are. But he filed a voter registration down in the basement of his son's home in Massachusetts and then voted there illegally. You know, the stuff that the GOP throws people in jail for. Well, that throws Democratic people in jail for. well, you know, throws like black and Hispanic people in jail for. Yeah, you got the idea. So Fred Karger is going to be joining us in studio in the next hour. So plenty to talk to him about, I suspect. But the reason Georgia is on my mind tonight is because of this creep, this punk, this thug. There we go. This thug, Neil Bortz. This right-wing wacko who is on something like 200 affiliate stations. I know Mike talked about this a little bit last night because, you know, he's colleagues with Neil. Bortz is on something like 200 stations. He's a right-winger. And he is on, when I say 200 stations, I mean 200 affiliate stations, 200 broadcast stations, 200 stations that are given to these station owners by us, by we the people. These are the public airwaves we're talking about here, not cable, not satellite. We're talking about the public airwaves, the terrestrial airwaves, 200 affiliate stations across the country. And what he said, well, let's go ahead. You may have heard this elsewhere, but I have a different take on it than you might think. This was Neil Bortz complaining. He had read some article about some carjacking or something in Atlanta, where apparently he doesn't even live anymore because he's such a little baby. But anyway, he wasn't just a baby. Here is what he said when he took to the airwaves and called for the incitement to violence, for the incitement to murder on our public airwaves this week.
And we got too damn many urban thugs, yo, ruining the quality of life for everybody. And I tell you what it's going to take. You people, you need to have a gun. You need to have training. You need to know how to use that gun. You need to get a permit to carry that gun. And you do, in fact, need to carry that gun. And we need to see some dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta. We need to see the next guy that tries to carjack you shot dead right where he stands. Mm-hmm. We need more dead thugs in this city.
We need more dead thugs in this city. That is Neil Bortz over your public airwaves. You need, in fact, he says, to carry that gun, and we need to see some dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta. Now, I saw this story whenever it was, I think a night or two ago. I think he said this on Tuesday. I saw it first on Ed Schultz's show. And he focused more on the racist, the race baiting, the racial problem here. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. But you know what? We have freedom of speech. So if he wants to be a racist creep, oh, and you got to love the hip-hop background there, right? The hip-hop music, yo. too damn many urban thugs, yo. Cue the hip-hop music. Wonder who he's talking about there. The racial aspect, that's one thing. He should be condemned. He should be thrown off the air because people complain to his sponsors. They boycott them, whatever, for that. But he's allowed to do that. That's not against the law. What it is against the law, it seems to me, is the incitement of violence. The incitement of violence. Here we are just a couple of months after the Gabby Giffords shooting, you know, after Glenn Beck has been running around talking about just shooting people in the head. You got that Glenn Beck clip right there, Tony? This was Glenn Beck last summer, what he said just before this jackass out in San Francisco actually did try to go shoot up the ACLU and the Tides Foundation, and thankfully he was stopped. He was listening to Glenn Beck, who was saying things like,
"The radicals that you in Washington have co-opted and brought in wearing sheep's clothing, change the pose, you get the ends. You've been using them? They believe in communism. They believe and have called for revolution. You're going to have to shoot them in the head. But warning, they may shoot you."
Glenn Beck, you're going to have to shoot them in the head. Neil Bortz, "We got too damn many urban thugs, yo. We need to see the next guy that tries to carjack shot dead. We need more dead thugs in this city." You need to carry a gun. We need to see some dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta. That is over our public airwaves. That, I believe, is an incitement to violence. And I'm going to be joined momentarily here by my friend and colleague, Ernest Canning, who's an attorney and the senior legal correspondent at bradblog.com, to get his thoughts on this. But I want to point you to FCC.gov. FCC.gov, you can go to the homepage. There's a link there for take action, and you can file a complaint. And if you file a complaint, the FCC has to, or at least they are supposed to, investigate this matter and hold this guy accountable. Is Neil Bortz in your town on your public airwaves? Is he on one of your radio stations? File a complaint, FCC.gov. You can also email them, FCCinfo@FCC.gov, but I think the best thing, go to their site, FCC.gov, hit the complaint button, it's right at the top, take action, then complaint, and file a complaint. These are our public airwaves. And while you can complain about a guy being racist, you know what? He's got a right to be racist if he wants. He does not have the right to break the law. And it seems, at least to me, that Neil Bortz is inciting violence, which, last I checked, is against the law. But let me check with the law here. My friend Ernest Canning, as I said, my colleague from bradblog.com, an attorney himself who has written about this very issue over the last several months, as these things seem to keep coming up again and again over our public airwaves. Hey, Ernie, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm okay. All right. Give me the read me the law here, my friend. Is this incitement to violence on our public airwaves? And if so, is that illegal?
Well, yeah, I think the critical, there's a case called Brandenburg versus Ohio, which basically distinguished between merely advocating the violent overthrow of the government and incitement. And it's a fine line, but when you cross it, then what they say is that if it's directed at inciting or producing imminent lawless action that is likely to incite or produce such action, that is no longer free speech. That crosses into the line of criminality. If you want to compare what he just said to another situation, I believe the guy's name was Tanner, and what happened was this was a shock jock in Chicago.
Oh, Hal Turner, you're talking about.
Turner.
Yeah. And by the way, Ernie, are you on a speakerphone or are you on a regular phone there? Because you're kind of echoing. I want to see if we can fix it real quick.
No, I'm not on the speakerphone.
Okay. All right. Press on. Hal Turner. Yes.
Yeah. Well, in Turner's case, what happened was in Chicago, he got upset when there was a gun law passed, or not a gun law passed. There was a ruling by three federal judges who upheld Chicago's handgun law, and he posted their photos and work addresses, and then added, and I'm quoting, "Let me be the first to say this plainly: these judges deserve to be killed." Well, he was convicted of incitement, indicted by a federal grand jury, and convicted
for that statement. He said, "Hang on, Ernie." So he says these judges deserve to be killed. That's Hal Turner. He's now in jail, and then you've got Neil Bortz out of Atlanta on 200 affiliate stations saying that we need to see some dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta. We need more dead thugs in this city. What's the difference between those two statements, Ernie?
Well, possibly you could make the difference that in Turner's case he had identified an individual, whereas in this case he's encouraging people to go out and kill people wholesale. I don't know which one is worse. You know, actually they identified three individuals, but I mean, if you make that statement about a federal judge, if you make it about the president, you're going to get prosecuted for incitement. And it seems to me that if you're making the same statement about citizens living in Atlanta, that the same standard has to apply. What's interesting is, as you know, my earlier piece dealt with whether or not a whole bunch of high-level politicians and pundits should be prosecuted for threatening or actually advocating and inciting to in calling for the assassination of Julian Assange. And I included Sarah Palin and a whole bunch of other people in that. And the interesting thing is that in this latest thing in Arizona, they had the guy that was shot by Jared Lee Loughner. The guy's name was J. Eric Fuller, and they had an event after that, and he took the pictures of this Tucson Tea Party founder mm-hmm. and said, "You're dead," and they immediately arrested the guy for
right.
for threatening him. You can't threaten that. They had a guy, Norman Laboon, who was a 33-year-old, somewhat emotionally disturbed individual, who threatened to kill Representative Eric Cantor. They arrested him and charged him for incitement. There's a limit to free speech. In other countries, you wouldn't even be protected against the advocacy end. But in this end, you cross the line when you cross the line from advocacy to inciting violence in this manner.
Yeah,
when these guys go out, there's consequences to what they're saying.
Well, there should be consequences to what they're saying, and I don't know, like you say, if it makes a difference in the cases that you mentioned where they mentioned a specific person or not, but I sure as hell would like the FCC to look into it and to decide, and you can help them do that. Go to FCC.gov and file a complaint against Neil Bortz, who over our public airwaves said that you need to carry a gun. We need to see dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta. We need more dead thugs in this city, said Neil Bortz. Hey, Ernie, thanks for your legal acumen here. I know you're going to write about this tomorrow at bradblog.com. Really appreciate it, brother. And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Brad. Take care.
Thank you, brother. All right. You're listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Did I mention FCC.gov, where you can file a complaint against Neil Bortz for what he's doing over your public airwaves? Please do. You don't even have to tell him that I sent you. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more ahead. You have the right. Jailhouse Rock for Neil Bortz. That sounds like a great idea to me. Go to FCC.gov. These are your public airwaves. File your complaint, if you like, with the FCC after what Neil Bortz was able to say over 200 stations just this week. You got it there, Tone?
And you do, in fact, need to carry mm-hmm. that gun. And we need to see some dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta.
Uh-huh, lovely.
To see the next guy that tries to uh-huh. carjack you shot dead right where he stands.
Yeah.
We need more dead thugs in this city.
Oh, good. Incitement to violence over our airwaves. It's illegal. Separate out the racial stuff, the racist stuff, because the guy's an idiot. But you know what? I don't care. You're allowed to be a racist. You are not allowed to incite violence over the airwaves. FCC.gov. You can file a complaint. I've got, let's see. Oh, coming up, by the way, next hour, 2012 Republican presidential candidate. In the house, or as they say at Fox, into hizzy. Fred Karger is going to be joining us. But let's see. I've got Rob in San Jose who thinks I'm hypocritical. Hey, Rob, we only have a minute or two before the top of the hour. So why am I a hypocrite?
Well, I think because I've heard Mike before talk about Sean Hannity when he was on those Freedom Concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And he was claiming that Hannity was stealing money from the armed forces and stuff. And
right, was he? Was he? Hang on, Rob, was he?
I don't know. That's
okay.
Not the point. The point was
okay.
that Mike said something to the effect of, he said the Marines should come in and do what Marines do to Sean Hannity. He was basically saying that the Marines should kill Sean Hannity.
Do you feel that?
How's that any different?
Well, you know what? I didn't hear it, and I have a way of, you know, when I hear these things, people make these claims, and then you go look at it, it is like nothing. You said Mike called for Beck to
No, Sean Hannity.
Uh-huh. Well, no, you also got Glenn Beck here, right?
He said that Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh should die also.
Right. Well, that he wanted to see them commit suicide or something. As
yeah,
I recall.
I don't know.
I didn't hear the Hannity. I didn't hear the Hannity clip. But so you feel that Mike Malloy was inciting violence on the airwaves? Is that right?
I feel it's the equivalent to what you're trying to say. You're trying to cry crocodile tears over this Bortz guy, and so what's the difference?
Crocodile tears? We need to see more dead thugs in this city? You need to carry a gun? We need to see dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta? And tonight, if somebody goes out and shoots up 20 thugs in Atlanta and says, Neil Bortz encouraged me to do it. Did you have a problem with that, Rob?
Well, let me ask you a question. People take martial arts, and what do they take it for? Self-defense, right? If I get attacked, I'm not going to sit there and take it. I'll defend myself.
Okay, he's not calling for people to defend themselves, Rob. He's calling for people.
Carjackers.
We are, yeah, and we need to see more dead thugs in this city. In any case, Rob, if you believe that Mike Malloy is inciting violence, then you should file a complaint at the FCC because these are our public airwaves. Neil Bortz is doing exactly that. I would say call the FCC and file a complaint. Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to make it equivalent. I don't have any. I'm not beholden to anyone.
I hear you, bro. Hey, listen, brother. I gotta go. No, I can't. I got a hard break. I'm sorry, Rob. I gotta go. I'm not trying to cut you off. I got a hard break. It's not equivalent. The Malloy is on. I don't know how many affiliates he's on. Bortz is on 200 affiliates. But if you think they're equivalent, fine. Go to the FCC. File a complaint. For everyone who has Neil Bortz in your city, go to the FCC and file a complaint. If you think that he is inciting violence, these are your public airwaves. Complain about it to the FCC. Take your airwaves back. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I am never inciting violence, but I will be joined by a Republican candidate for president in the next hour, so stay with us. Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly investigative citizen journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from BradBlog.com, drafted into duty here for Mike Malloy, who is on his summer break. Delighted to be here. Delighted you could join us here live and live and local in the beautiful downtown Burbank. And I am delighted to be joined. I'm quite certain that this is a Mike Malloy show first. We have a Republican presidential candidate in the studio. This would be a first if you were on the phone, Fred, I gotta say. But a Republican presidential candidate in the studio right here on the Mike Malloy Show. And just to really torture him, we are in Stephanie Miller's studio, which is where we broadcast from. And behind my head, there is an enormous picture of Al Franken. So we're going to really make it hard for him. I'm joined by Fred Karger. Heard of him? Maybe not. He'll give you a frisbee that says, Fred who? He is an American political consultant. He is a gay rights activist. He is the first openly gay presidential candidate from either of the two major parties. And he is a candidate for the Republican nomination for the 2012 U.S. presidential election. He's worked on 9 presidential campaigns, served as... You're old, Fred. 9 presidential campaigns. Holy cow. And he served as a senior consultant to the campaigns of President Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Gerald Ford. After retiring from the Dolphin Group, a California campaign consulting firm, he has since worked as an activist on gay rights causes at Californians Against Hate. and he's investigated the LDS, the Mormon Church, and the National Organization for Marriage's campaign to repeal the state's California's same-sex marriage law, which we talked a little bit about. Some victories in the last couple of days in court. We talked a little bit about that in the first hour. But now, Mr. Carger joins us here live for the next hour. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Brad. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. And because, you know, you're not going to get on those debates for some reason. They're not going to—I don't know why. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But what got you in this door, Mr. Carger, is that you have struck on something that is very near and dear to my heart. You have filed charges, like official complaint, on Monday in Massachusetts against Mitt Romney, the front runner for the Republican nomination at this time, against Mitt Romney for voter fraud? Really?
Yeah, really.
What did he commit voter fraud?
Well, I've asked the Department of the Secretary of the Commonwealth, which mm-hmm. governs our election division in Massachusetts, to look into it, because there were all these things, contradictory statements he was making over the last 18 months. The one that really kind of set off a little light bulb in my head was that he said he was going to re-register to vote at his son's house. He was allegedly living in New Hampshire then in order to vote for Scott Brown. Well, you can't re-register at your son's house to vote in an election, particularly a federal election.
Did he use those words, re-register?
That's what the quote was, and that's what, you know, assuming it was correct, yeah, that's what he said he was going to do.
So the implication being he was the governor of Massachusetts, and but then he leaves, registers somewhere else, or we don't know if he registered at all when he bought a house then in a mansion out here in California, another one up in New Hampshire, and then he says, I'm going to re-register.
That was the quote. That's what kind of set off. You know, I used to do a lot of opposition research in my 30-plus years as a political consultant.
Right.
And so, you know, while I'm now a candidate, it's mm-hmm. still hard to take off that hat.
Right.
And, you know, he's the front runner, so I watch him like a mm-hmm. good op research guy would, because there are just a lot of unanswered questions. And he was moving to New Hampshire. And I thought, oh, that's really smart. You know, it's the first state. He bought a home up there. That's a good move. He can be a native son.
Right.
Well, it turns out, you know, 6 weeks later, after they had indicated he had moved to New Hampshire to this, you know, $12 million compound. It's a magnificent estate on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Right.
Very fancy place. You know, then they denied it. Oh, no, he didn't move. Well, he'd had residency problems when he ran for governor because he was running the Olympics in Utah. And
right.
I think he pulled a cute one to save a lot of property tax. And for a guy who's worth $500 million, you
right.
know, their estimates are, that he wanted to save money on income tax. You know, it's a lot less in Utah than Taxachusetts.
Okay.
And if he had then, you know, many years later, he had, well, actually, I'll go into that. Yeah, so what happened was in deciding to run for governor in 2002, after the Winter Olympics were over, he hadn't looked at the law, apparently. There's a 7-year residency requirement in Massachusetts. So he said, I never really left. Well, he did. And, you know, here's this guy who brags about his great business acumen, who's going to turn around our country. Well, he didn't even know he'd re-registered his residency to Utah. He blamed it on the state. He blamed it on, you know, clerical error. He didn't even know. He didn't know where he was paying his state income tax, which I don't believe.
Right.
And so I looked into that, and they let him. The Republican governor at the time formed a commission, a 3-2 Republican Dominating Commission, and they let it slide if he paid his back taxes.
This was a special commission that was formed to determine whether he was eligible to be on the ballot back in 2002.
Yes, and it was a stack deck, and, you know, yeah,
oh,
they let him
God.
Do it if he paid his back taxes.
Isn't there a standing committee? Isn't there a Massachusetts election commission or the Secretary of State out there who would normally make these decisions concerning the eligibility for a candidate on the ballot?
I've just seen a pretty cowardly Secretary of the Commonwealth just this last week and not even looking into the charges I filed. So I don't know exactly how that worked. The governor at the time put the commission together, from what I understand. But, yeah, it was very controversial, but they let it slide. Well, I'm not letting this guy slide.
Please don't, because, okay, that was 2002. They let that one slide. Meantime, he comes out. He becomes the governor of Massachusetts. Was it one term or two terms?
Just one term.
One term. Then he buys, I think it was a $12.5 million estate out here in California. I think it's $10 million. I think, Rachel, when you were on with Rachel Maddow the other night, she called it a cabin, fishing vacation cabin up in New Hampshire on Lake Winnipesaukee, and he is then registers to vote in his son's basement, his son's half-finished basement. Now, the law is very clear in Massachusetts. And Fred, if you don't know this, I happen to cover election issues quite carefully, from election fraud on electronic voting machines to phony claims about voter fraud, which is what we hear most of the time from Republicans. We'll talk about that in a second. But Massachusetts is very clear. The state defines residency as, quote, where a person dwells and which is the center of his domestic, social, and civil life. That's very clear. Where he dwells and which is the center of his domestic, social, and civil life. And it seems to me, just go ahead, they'll work anyway without that on there. It seems to me that it was very clear that Mitt Romney does not have the center of his domestic, social, and civil life in his son's basement in Massachusetts. And you actually talked to people in this town, Belmont, Massachusetts, where he used to live, where his son still lives.
He finally bought a cheesy townhome there just so he'd have an address.
Oh, he bought a new home in Belmont?
Just last July.
Now, last July, was that before or after he voted for Scott Brown in that election last year? After.
6 months after. I think his campaign consultant said, Mitt, you cannot continue to be registered in your son's basement when you're running for president of the United States. So they bought an attached townhome for $895,000, a little different than their, $10, $12 million estates in California and New Hampshire. So it's a front. It's just so he has an address in Belmont.
And you talk to people in Belmont. You talk to the local community. And what did they say when you said, hey, anybody seen Mitt around here lately?
Well, I actually hadn't even planned on that. But yeah. I have a research director on my campaign. While he was at the town clerk's office getting a lot. We have all the registration records, everything. His son's, his wife's, everything, including the letter he sent to re-register at his son's house, basement, apartment. Well, I went in just to get a lobster roll in the local fish market, and I saw a picture of a soldier with President Obama. So it was a good way to strike up a conversation with the owner, and it was his nephew. And I said, "Well, you've got a presidential candidate in this town." He said, "Who?" And I said, "Governor Romney." He goes, "Oh no, he moved away a couple years ago. He moved to California. He flew the coop." So that kind of reinforced. I said, "How do you know that?" He goes, "Oh, his wife used to come in here all the time."
But doesn't anymore, because they live in California or New Hampshire or Utah. Now, the fine for fraudulent voter registration in Massachusetts is $10,000 and up to 5 years in jail. Now, notoriously, Ann Coulter, for example, she committed voter fraud in the state of Florida, and this is a fact, felony fact. She put in knowingly put the wrong address on her registration form in Palm Beach County, Florida, and then she knowingly voted at the wrong precinct. So we actually have several counts. We've got two felony counts and a misdemeanor count. But her FBI boyfriend actually got her off the hook, and then she eventually ran out the clock. All the documents, if anybody wants to know, bradblog.com/coulterfraud. You can see all of her lies. Then she did it again in Connecticut, where she was voting at her parents' house, even though she lived in her own million-dollar townhouse in Manhattan. She was able to get off the hook there because in Connecticut, they said, well, if she still has family there, so that's sort of kind of maybe she was okay to be registered there and vote there year after year. But Massachusetts is different. They are very specific, and they say to be a resident, it must be the place where you dwell, the center of your domestic, social, and civil life. That was not the case with Mitt Romney. And when we come back, we're going to find out what it was that the Massachusetts Election Commission or Secretary of the Commonwealth, what they had to say to you in response to this complaint, because it's very interesting. Speaking with Fred Karger here on the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman in for Mike, a whole bunch more straight ahead. Stay with us.
What is wrong? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore.
Yeah, your vote matters. Maybe. But you got to fight for it. And, of course, your vote shouldn't matter if it's illegally cast, as it appears to have been in the case of Republican presidential frontrunner Mitt Romney, as the complaint filed this week by GOP presidential candidate Fred Karger, who joins me in studio here in the Mike Malloy Show. Oh, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I should have said that. Fred Karger joins me here in studio after filing his complaint against his fellow Republican candidate, Mitt Romney, for voter fraud, because Fred says that Mitt lived in bought a house in California, in New Hampshire, and is now registered or was registered in his son's basement in Massachusetts in violation of the Massachusetts law, which is pretty clear that that basement was not the center of his domestic, social, and civil life. So that smells like voter fraud to me. What has the state of Massachusetts told you, Fred Karger, in regard to your complaint?
Well, I still haven't heard back from them. I was in New Hampshire. I held a press conference on Monday, the day of the Republican debate, and I just sent the complaints out to the state officials then, so I've not heard back. I also, there's a second part of this complaint, and that was to the Department of Revenue, because you remember John Kerry, and he tried to pull a fast one, he and his wife with their $7 million yacht, even though, you know, he's obviously a resident of Massachusetts. He's the U.S. senator from there.
Okay.
Well, they bought a $7 million yacht just about a year ago in Rhode Island,
okay,
saying that they were going to use it there. They saved about $500,000 in taxes. So that's the other thing that triggered my
question. So you're saying John Kerry may have not actually be a resident of Massachusetts?
Well, no, he was just trying to save money, as they do, even though, you know, they got hundreds and hundreds or billions of dollars, his wife. And so, you know, that got me thinking, okay, Mitt Romney now is supposedly a resident of New Hampshire, which is a no-income tax state. So maybe he re-registered his residency also, and that was in New Hampshire. I don't know that. I think it's less likely because he got in trouble, as I mentioned, in Utah when he did that. So I think he would learn his lesson, but, you know, he's a shrewd businessman. So I thought maybe he's doing the same thing John Kerry did. So I filed a complaint. I've not heard back from them with the Department of Revenue to see if he, in fact, switched his residency to New Hampshire.
Well, okay, I understand now. Well, I would like to see. I know that some folks in the media have asked. Let's see. I think that some Massachusetts official, I'm not sure which one, was said the time to bring this up was when he voted.
Well, yeah. So that's about the craziest response I've ever heard, next to the town clerk's response, which is even more ludicrous. But yeah.
What did the town clerk say?
Well, the town clerk in Belmont, which is, you know, you got to picture this situation. I've been there. It's the Mormon temple, the only Mormon temple in the entire New England area is in Belmont.
Right.
It's a very well-populated Mormon community. As, you know, we see a lot of faiths, they'll live close to their house of worship. Well, the temple, which is sacred, there are a lot of Mormons in this town. So, you know, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty convinced that, you know, within the town clerk's office, there are a lot of people. It's certainly a small town. There are his friends. His son lives there. They live there for 20 years. They're still there, or 30 years, actually. So, you know, I'm sure they don't want to hurt their friend. Well, the town clerk said he's got such a great voting record, even since he moved to his son's basement, that, you know, that's good, and that sets a wonderful example for everyone else. So, you know, Rachel Maddow last night was going ballistic. Well, it doesn't matter how many times you vote, even if you vote and commit and break the law, if you vote a lot.
Yeah, the town clerk was saying, this is great. We need more voters like Mitt Romney because they vote a lot, no matter whether they live here or not, is apparently what he seemed to be saying.
He tried to, you know, I don't want the guy to go to prison for 5 years or pay a $10,000 fine. Mitt Romney.
Why not?
Because I think I don't think this is that big of offense. It might have been an error. He thought he was going to be cute to
realize
save some
Democrats
money.
Have been sent to jail for much less.
Well, I don't want him to go to jail. I don't want something like this that's not clear. I don't know. I mean, I just want to find out the truth. Because he's not been truthful so many times, and it points to his character and integrity. Let's just have him come clean. Let's explain this. Was he living there? You know, does he have receipts from his car insurance and his renter's insurance?
He should be able to show that he paid a bill there for something.
Yeah,
let's just
see that. If that's not the case, you know, then I will accept it. But certainly the fact that the state won't even look into it is ridiculous.
In fact, apparently someone at the state told the Rachel Maddow that, quote, there will be no investigation. Well, we'll see about that, because there are also federal officials who can oversee this sort of thing. They have in the past. This was a federal election for Scott Brown. So we got to take a quick break here. Okay. We're speaking with Fred Carter, Republican presidential nominee and complainant against fellow Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney for voter fraud. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay tuned. Much more ahead.
Feel the excitement. This is the moment I was born to do. And I feel so incredible to be sharing my faith with you. The scriptures say that if you ask in faith, if you ask God himself, he'll know. But you must ask him without any doubt and let your spirit grow. And you'll know it's all true, you'll just feel it. You'll be a Mormon, by gosh, a Mormon, just believe.
All right, there you go. Special, all right, you can let it play out there. Tell a little special tune for our friend Mitt Romney out there. Alleged vote fraudster Mitt Romney. There you go. He believes. Nothing against Mormons, but I got to tell you, or Mormon Republicans, but between Mitt Romney and John Huntsman, who the former governor of Utah, who maybe looks like he will actually be getting in the race, I think 4 days from now or something like that. He, too, has a problem, a voter fraud problem, having been registered at the governor's mansion and voting, even though he lived in China. Not kidding, as the U.S. ambassador. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. I'm speaking with Fred Carter, who joins me live in studio. He is himself a Republican presidential candidate for 2012. You can get more information at his website, fredcarter.com. He has filed a voter fraud complaint against Mitt Romney, and it looks to me, Fred, like you got a pretty good case. I don't think he was living there in Massachusetts, and I hope... If Massachusetts won't hold him accountable, please go to the U.S. Attorney's Office and file a complaint there. Because the U.S. Attorney's Office under Bush threw a lot of people in jail for what seems to me to be a lot less. We were talking during the break, Fred, about this guy, this Pakistani guy who had lived here for 10 years, married to an American wife, had an American kid, was handed a registration form. He never voted. Was handed a registration form at the DMV, and he was deported by the Bush regime, by the Bush Department of Justice. Another woman, Kimberly Prude, up in Wisconsin. She was a felon about 4 or 5 years prior to the 2004 election. I'll toss in the fact that she happens to be African-American. Doesn't matter, but maybe it does matter. So 4 or 5 years before the 2004 election, she wrote a bad check. She never went to jail. But it made her a felon. She didn't know that she was not allowed to vote. So 2004 came around. She was a poll worker. She volunteered to work the polls. So she cast her vote early, absentee, and then found out, oh, as a felon, you're not allowed to vote. What did she do? She called and said, hey, can I get my vote back? Because I didn't know I wasn't allowed to vote. She was thrown in jail for more than a year, Fred Carter. So your complaint against Mitt Romney, I thank you for. But I think while it's amusing, I actually think it's damned serious, these issues, particularly if they're going to throw people in jail for this. How do you respond to that when you hear a story like that, when you see the way the Republicans are passing these voter suppression laws, these photo ID scam laws? Do you support your party, Fred Carter, when you see them passing these kind of disenfranchising laws and throwing people in jail for these minor offenses?
No, you know, I'm a big advocate of voting. I spent my entire adult life working in politics. I've proposed up at Dartmouth in the Rockefeller Center in January, a 28th Amendment to the Constitution to grant more rights instead of taking them away like Bush tried to, and that is lowering the voting age to either 16 or 17, empowering these kids, trying to keep them interested in high school, teaching politics real time, expanding the voting rolls. It'd be 20 million additional voters if we allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote.
But, Fred, they're not expanding the voter rolls. They're throwing people off the voter rolls. You know, in state after state now, up there with Scott Walker's Wisconsin, they just passed a photo ID law. They're not going to let students who attend college in Wisconsin, even if they have a photo ID from their school, they're not going to let them use student ID. How can you justify these type of laws by your party? And this is your party. As progressive as you may say, you called yourself a progressive Republican, right? Like Teddy Roosevelt, great head of the Progressive Party. But how can you be involved with a party that does this, that works to disenfranchise voters the way the Republican Party in 2011 is doing in advance of hopefully your 2012 race?
Well, I'll tell you, Brad, it's not my father's Republican Party, and not just on that issue, but on a wide array of social issues. It's moved so far right. I'm actually what my real description of myself is an independent Republican. I'm independent from people like that. I want to give more voting rights. You know, I think it's important.
Will you condemn people like that? Will you condemn those sorts of laws?
Absolutely. I've spoken out against a similar bill in New Hampshire when that came up, and I heard about it. I was speaking out just on Sunday, mm-hmm. along with Hillsborough County Republican County Flag Day picnic, where Herman Cain and Tim Pawlenty and I were speaking, and that question came up about the voter ID bill. And it was an older group of Republicans at this thing. And I said, absolutely, I'm against it. And
this was New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire. Okay. And so I spoke out at Dartmouth against this bill, which would prohibit college students and active duty military from voting in New Hampshire because they're not residents. They're not real New Hampshireites. And the author even said they vote the wrong way. Well, you can't do that. You don't like the way a class of people vote, so you disenfranchise them. No, I'm a huge advocate of voting rights. And legal voting, and you must do it legally. And I think Mitt Romney has tried to pull a fast one to save some money. He registered out of his son's home. That is blatantly illegal. I am absolutely considering federal action. I consider that initially, but I thought that the state would do it. He voted in two federal elections.
Right.
We have the affidavits from the town clerk, Scott Brown, in December in the primary, and again in the runoff in January.
And I hope you do. I hope you bring federal charges here, because you have the standing as a candidate in the Republican Party, not just in New Hampshire, but this is going on, Fred Carker, in state after state. Mm-hmm. Georgia, Indiana passed laws that are disenfranchising nuns, veterans, people stationed in the military, and they're out there lying about it. They are claiming that there is an epidemic of voter fraud, but from all I can see, the only people actually committing voter fraud, by and large — election fraud is a different problem with voting machines and everything else — but voter fraud, the only ones I see committing it are Mitt Romney, John Huntsman, Ann Coulter, Todd Akin, this guy who's Congressman Todd Akin, who's running for the U.S. Senate in Missouri. He has the same problem. He's been voting for like 7 years at a house at which he does not live. And there seems to be no accountability for this, even while they are robbing us of the right to vote across this nation in advance of 2012. And to me, this is not a right and left issue. You know, I supported Scott Brown up in Alaska when he got screwed by the voting machines last year. I'll support anybody, you know, if they want to fight for our democracy. But we need people like you to stand up against the Republican Party. And I promise you, I'll give you a whole bunch more free airtime if you'll do it in state after state, Fred Carker.
I'm with you, Brad. Absolutely. No, I've been fighting for truth and transparency in campaign reporting. I filed complaints against the Mormon Church here in California, which led to their prosecution, an 18-month investigation, and a guilty plea on 13 counts of voter fraud. And also,
in that case, it was election fraud, because they were improperly putting money into the Proposition 8 campaign.
Yeah, you have to report the money that you're spending as an in-kind or non-monetary contribution. Well, they reported, you remember the Prop 8 campaign, it was a $40 million successful campaign on their side. The Mormon Church raised about $30 million from its members and spent an untold millions more, which they're allowed to do, but they have to report it.
But you, so this is now, you went after the Mormon Church in Prop 8. Now you're going after Mitt Romney. Do you got something against Mormons, Fred Karger? Is that what this is about?
Not against the Mormons or the Mormon Church. I just have a big problem with their public affairs department, which runs campaigns. They've run 31 successful campaigns to stop gay marriage in this country. And I busted them in California. I discovered all their involvement here. Mm-hmm. I filed a complaint with our Fair Political Practices Commission. I gave the story several months earlier to the Wall Street Journal. And then because of my activism and this successful effort that was undertaken by our Ethics Commission here in California, I was a recipient of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of stolen Mormon documents that detailed every aspect of all these elections that they've been very involved with, and state lobbying and things like that, and just the most blatant violations of the law. I took a handful of them, and I put them on a brand new website called MormonGate.com. Go to that website. You'll see there are 11 documents on there, official Mormon Church documents from the church president on down. And they never denied it. I mean, I couldn't tell if they're authentic, but I knew when I put them up that the church would, you know, attack me if they were not. But they're up there. It's the evidence of how they meddle in these elections and they skirt the law.
Okay. Now, and by the way, Karen from Illinois in our chat room asks if you checked, did Mitt vote in California or New Hampshire, as far as you know, or have you confirmed that he did not?
We've not checked. I assume I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I assume he is not.
Oh, don't do that, Fred. No benefit of the doubt. I mean, check.
Yeah, he's voted in every election except one, and always by absentee ballot. And, you know, some good reporter could go into that town clerk. They save the envelopes. If you mail in an absentee ballot in Belmont, let's see if they're from California or New Hampshire or where he mailed in all his absentee ballots while he was allegedly living in his son's basement.
All right. Well, yeah. And let's keep digging there, particularly why. And I haven't heard Mitt Romney coming out and condemning these bills, these photo ID scams that are going on. As a matter of fact, I haven't heard any other Republican doing so, which leads me, well, actually, two questions here. Okay, first, let's, on this Mitt thing, the reason you said why are you targeting Mitt Romney?
Well, I started targeting Mitt Romney in January of last year when he went on his book tour.
Right.
Because I'm trying to sidebar issue of mine is to get the Mormon Church out of its gay bashing, leading this effort nationally.
So this is a Mormon thing.
It's a Mormon Church political thing to get him, as the most prominent Mormon in the United States, to use his influence to get his religion out of the gay marriage business. So okay. I actually ran newspaper ads. He went on about a 30-city book tour last year. I ran newspaper ads, banner ads online in all those newspapers practically, asking people to call Mitt Romney. I put his office number in there and asking him to get his church out of the gay marriage business.
And is this why you are running for president, Fred Karger, because you would like to help derail Mitt Romney to get at the Mormon Church? Is that what this is about?
Not to derail, but yeah, to have him. The way I figure, and I've said this many times, you know, if it comes down to stopping gay marriage or a Mormon president, the Mormon Church is going to go with a Mormon president.
And don't you think that hurting Mitt Romney in some fashion is only going to lead to folks who are much, much worse than Mitt Romney when it comes to, you know, anything close to moderation on these issues? Knock out Mitt Romney and you end up with who? You know, Michelle Bachmann, crazy Newt Gingrich. Take your pick.
Well, you know, John Huntsman is looking at it, who's a little more centrist. Here's a guy with great courage. He's also a member of the Mormon Church.
Mormon.
But he is for civil unions for gay couples, which is unbelievable because he announced that in February of 2009, right after, of course, I helped uncover the Mormon Church's involvement in Prop 8. So he stood up against his Mormon faith. You will never, ever see Mitt Romney do that.
You won't see Mitt Romney. Any other candidates on the Republican side other than you and John Huntsman so far who have said that they would at least support civil marriage, which I also find offensive, by the way.
I'll tell you what, Brad, I'm the only full equality candidate running for president of the United States, and I'm also the first openly gay candidate running for president of the United States of either party. Barack Obama is evolving on marriage. Here's a guy who supported gay marriage in 1996 when he ran for the state Senate. He reversed his position when he ran for the U.S. Senate. I think he's the only person in America who's ever gone from a gay marriage supporter to a gay marriage opponent.
I wish you were running for the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. Speaking with Fred Carger, GOP candidate for President of the United States, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we'll have just a few more minutes. Next hour, by the way, we're going to try to open it up to your calls, but I'm going to ask Fred why the hell he is still a Republican with the positions that he has, and as crazy as the Republican Party seems to me to have now gone over a cliff. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy with the Mike Malloy Show first. Republican presidential candidate Fred Carger. Oh, we're also going to ask him why they won't let him in the debates. I'd love to hear him in the debates, wouldn't you? FredCarger.com. Brad in for Malloy. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Fred Carger. Fred who? You can get more information at FredCarger.com. He is a Republican presidential candidate this year. Has filed a complaint against Mitt Romney for voter fraud in Massachusetts. Man, Fred, would I like to see you in the debates. What do they tell you? And I've only got a few minutes, so I'm going to ask you bunch of questions quickly. What do they tell you? Why were you not allowed in the debate last week in New Hampshire?
Well, they set up, CNN set up what they call objective criteria, and I think they backloaded it. And you have to do that legally. Okay. You have to treat everyone equally. It can't be subjective criteria. And, in other words, I want you and you, but
right.
Not you.
What's the objective
criteria? Well, it was 2% in three national polls, or 2% in the state poll. My problem is I had not been included in the polls. I'm now included in the polls, but you know I was at 1% along with John Huntsman, along with the Governor Romer of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So we're in the cellar, and you needed to be at 2%. Gary Johnson, former two-term governor of New Mexico, was also excluded. So they treated us all equally, but it's a catch-22. You need to be in a debate to go up in the polls, but you need to be high in the polls to get in the debate.
To get in the debate. It's a scam. CNN, have them on next time, for crying out loud. Oh, hey, Fox News, fair and balanced. Have Fred Carger on in your next debate, please. Okay, who did you vote for? It's up to you. Who did you vote for president 4 years, or I guess 2 years ago?
The same guy I voted for in 2004. In 2004. Only this is
okay. It's up to you.
Ralph Nader.
Okay. Yeah. why, with all of this, with your positions, which seem to be anything but they're progressive, but they seem to be anything but Republican, at least what has become, Republican orthodoxy now in this party, why the hell are you still a Republican, Fred Carger?
Well, I am 61 years old. I started in politics when I was 6 years old.
And you look great, by the way. You don't look 61. All right. So
a rough 15 months on the presidential campaign trail.
Oh, it's only going to get worse after this interview. So what? why are you still Republican?
I'm trying to change the party. I grew up with Nelson Rockefeller. I used to take the train from suburban Chicago down to the Sheraton Hotel to do phone banks at 14. I'm what's termed a Rockefeller Republican. Here's a guy, he was very, very socially moderate, and he was a caring person. He cared about people, and that's what the Republican Party that I grew up with was and should return to be. And I'm not for excluding anybody like they want to exclude me, but it needs to be the big tent.
What's your opinion on climate change?
Well, I'm looking into it. I think, it's a problem out there. I love what California's done. I'm talking about that all over the country, the mandate here that we need wind and solar to deliver 30% of our electricity
by 2020.
Do you believe
climate change is happening?
I do, yes.
Do you believe man is a cause of it?
I do.
And you believe that the government has a role in doing something about it?
I do, and the world should step up to the plate on this. Go to Mexico City and just breathe the air and see the brown air. And I've not been to China, but I hear these horror stories. We need to be responsible. We're on this planet. We need to take care of it.
Afghanistan and Iraq, how much longer do we need to stay there?
My line last summer after Obama announced a surge in Afghanistan was the only surge we should do is to surge out of there. I think we should get out of that nation building there and in Iraq instantly.
How do we cover our budget gap, budget deficit right now? Raise taxes or cut spending?
Well, I'm looking at that. I'm putting together an economic commission. I want to bring back the American spirit. And you know, my biggest beef with Obama is that he's just been moping around. I thought this guy would kind of be Reagan-esque, like Reagan was in 81 when he came in with that great spirit and optimism. That alone, a president can really affect the economy.
You're okay if they have to raise taxes?
On certain people, yes.
Okay. You just lost the Grover Norquist vote. Fred Karger. Check him out at fredkarger.com. Republican presidential candidate for 2012. Fred, it has been my pleasure to have you here on the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you, sir. Let's talk again soon.
I would love to. Thanks for having me.
All right. Much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Oh, your calls. Give us a call. 877-520-1150. Much more ahead. Welcome back, America. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly investigative citizen blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, sitting in for Mike tonight. And man, did I delighted. I just had a great, if you didn't hear the interview just now with Fred Karger, we'll have it up late night at bradblog.com, or you can get it if you're a Malloy podcast subscriber. And if you are not, I hope that you will be, because we need to support progressive radio so that we can have an interview with a guy like Fred Karger, who's running for the Republican presidential nominee, that you won't hear anywhere else. I was told as we were chatting after the interview, Fred said that, you know, if you live in New Hampshire, pay attention, people in New Hampshire, if you live in New Hampshire and you're registered as an independent, you can re-register, certainly now as a Republican, but you can also do it on the day of the election, of the primary election in January. You're an independent, you can have the choice who you want to vote for. You can vote for the Democrat, if there's a Democratic primary in New Hampshire. Probably won't be. Or in the Republican presidential primary in New Hampshire. So if you folks hear what I'm saying out there, you ain't got no Democratic primary to vote for if you're registered as an independent. You want to see this party, you want to see some kind of sanity returned to the Republican Party. Good luck with that. However, you can shake them up out there in New Hampshire if you want. You can vote in the Republican Party primary in January in New Hampshire. And I'm not telling you who to vote for, but fredkarger.com is a very interesting fellow. I think you'll agree. If you missed that interview, you'll be able to get it at mikemalloy.com later tonight or at bradblog.com. Okay, where the hell were we? Where the hell are we? Oh, he also said, by the way, he said that because I forced him to talk to me here. I'm in, like I said, I'm in Stephanie Miller's studio out here in Los Angeles. And we use her studio when I do the Malloy Show. And behind me, there's pictures of Stephanie and this huge picture of Al Franken, who used to be on the air out here back when in the Air America days. He was on in the mornings on K-Talk AM 1150, which is where I'm broadcasting from. Broadcasting from out in Los Angeles. Huge picture of Al Franken. His huge head is right behind mine if you're sitting here talking to me. And I said, hey, sorry, Fred, you're going to have to look at this Al Franken character. He said, oh, no, he was my inspiration for running. What? Apparently, it turns out, and I don't know if you read this book, it's hysterical. A few years back, a bunch of years back now, Al Franken wrote a book called Why Not Me? In which he muses about running for president. And this was back as prior to 2000. And it's a hysterical book called Why Not Me? Al Franken runs for president. Actually, I can't remember. I think he gets the nomination. But and believe it or not, prior to 2000, okay, he had chosen, his fictional character in this book had chosen Joe Lieberman to be his presidential, his vice presidential running mate in the book. Anyway, Fred Karger says that Why Not Me was his inspiration to run for president here in the Republican Party. So anyway, you can also follow him over on the Twitters at Fred Karger, K-A-R-G-E-R. Or you can follow me on the Twitters at The Brad Blog. 877-520-1150 is our phone number here today. If you want to get in to talk about that interview, to talk about anything else, I got loads of stuff to talk about, but I would love to hear from you because these are your airwaves, the people's airwaves. 877-520-1150. If you want to talk about Neil Bortz calling for, where the hell is it? What did he call for? Let's see here. On our public airwaves. You got that queued up by any chance? Yeah, look at that last part there, Tony. Neil Bortz, over 200 affiliate stations, had this to say just earlier this week.
And you do, in fact, need to carry that gun. And we need to see some dead thugs littering the landscape in Atlanta. We need to see the next guy that tries to carjack you shot dead right where he stands. We need more dead thugs in this city.
Hey, Neil Bortz. Hey, Neil Bortz, if somebody goes out tonight and mows down 20 folks in the streets of Atlanta, how are you going to feel about that? You going to take any responsibility for that? Does anybody in the Republican Party take any responsibility for anything? Well, I don't care if you take accountability for it, but those are my airwaves. You're saying that over my public airwaves, and I'm not happy about it. So I hope anybody else who is not happy about the incitement to violence, this is not about free speech. This is not about the racism that underscores Bortz's comments there. This is about incitement to violence, which is illegal, which people have gone to jail for. So, got a problem with it? Go to FCC.gov. Right at the top, it says file a complaint or take action, and then it says complaint. Fill out a complaint if Neil Bortz is violating your public airwaves with that kind of crap, that kind of violent incitement to violence. 877-520-1150. Let's hit a few callers, and then I got a few more thoughts. I'm sorry. Boy, we haven't spent a minute on Anthony Weiner. Can you believe it? The most important issue of the day. We haven't spent a minute. Oh, we will. Jeff in Irvine, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What is on your mind?
Oh, not much. How you doing there, Brad? Brad, I'm a big fan of your blog.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're very kind.
Yeah, I've been following a long time with the black box voting issues. You did an excellent job. Excellent.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But what are you calling for tonight, Jeff?
Well, I was wondering, what's your opinion on the Emmanuel Goldstein killing? You know, Osama bin Laden, do you believe it, or do you think it's fake like I do?
What's the Emmanuel Goldstein killing?
Oh, you know, they killed Osama bin Goldstein.
Oh, brother. I don't even know where you're going there, Jeff, but no thanks. I don't even... Whatever. You know, look, if you want to call
it... It was fake.
All right. Yeah, it was fake. But here's the deal. If you want to call in, if you want to say the killing of Osama bin Laden was fake, if you want to slyly imply some sort of a racist Jewish thing there, which I presume that's what that was about, I don't even know, tell Desi when you call. She's screening your calls. We'd love, you know, but you said Ed Schultz shouldn't have been suspended. Okay. I don't know if he should or shouldn't. I wanted to hear your opinion. If you have an opinion, if you have something you want to talk about, I'm not going to block you out because I don't agree with you. Don't lie to the call screener. Okay? Okay. What? You all right? All right. 877-520-1150. And here I say we could talk about anything you want, which I thought was pretty nice of me. All right. 877-520-1150. Do I have the time to go to? No, I'll do it when I come back. Let me get out early here this segment, Tone, and I'll come back with what the media was spending their time on today and for the last 2 or 3 weeks, all the important issues that matter to this nation, like Anthony Weiner, who resigned today for some reason. Because he went to hookers and got... Oh, no, wait, that was David Vitter, the Republican senator who's still serving. No, it was because he was hitting up men in a bathroom in Minnesota. Oh, no, that was Larry Craig, and it took him... Oh, no, it was because he was having an affair and paying people off with his staffer, paying people off to shut them... Oh, no, I'm sorry, that was John Ensign, who served for 2 years. Was it Clarence Thomas who lied on his forehead? It's so confusing. Thank God we've got CNN, MSNBC, and Fox to straighten us out. We'll talk about that straight ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. This is your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. It's summer break for Mike, so I'm delighted to be here with you. We will be taking your calls momentarily at 877-520-1150. The phone lines are lighting up, so if you want to get in, now's your chance. These are your public airwaves. Use them or lose them more than you already have. 877-520-1150. Plus, I want to welcome over at the BradBlog.com chat room, Lady Cab Driver, who apparently just now found Mike Malloy last night for the first time. And now I've already disappointed her by showing up and... she, where's Malloy? I just found him, and now this Brad guy comes in and... No, not really. She's delighted to have found Mike, and then she's even happy that I'm here. So thank you, Lady Cab Driver. I, too, am happy that you are here. Of course, over the last 3 weeks, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday when I'm back with you. But, you know, actual news was going on. Actual information was being learned and should have been reported. As a matter of fact, Anthony Weiner... Before all of this nonsense came about, was busy outing Clarence Thomas for his conflicts and his crimes. Justice Clarence Thomas for his crimes, for lying about his wife's income on his financial disclosure forms for 20 years, something that we talked about in detail last time I was here a couple months ago. Some new information. We find that his wife, Ginny, made $550,000. So get this. In September of, well, let me get this timeline absolutely straight. Here we go. Okay. September of 2009, the Citizens United case is argued before the Supreme Court. November of 2009, Ginny Thomas, his wife, launches her new Liberty Central 501c4 organization and manages somehow in November alone, just by the end of the year, manages to raise over $500,000. $550,000 in 2009 in just the last month. Now, of course, Citizens United had already been argued, so maybe she knew what was coming up, you think? Because in January, Citizens United is decided. And in March, just a couple of months later, Ginny Thomas says, hey, Liberty Central, my 501c4 organization, we will, quote, accept donations from various sources, including corporations, as allowed under campaign finance rules recently loosened by the Supreme Court. So if she made $550,000 in 1 month in 2009, what did she make thereafter? And did she know? Did she know what she was going to what the decision was going to be? Did she realize, hey, this is a way to make some big money? Is it a case of judicial insider trading? This is the sort of thing that Anthony Weiner was actually working. He had set up a website, Conflicted Clarence. This is the sort of thing he had been working on when all of this came about. I'm going to continue to work on it. I'm going to continue to report on it. Because, well, Anthony Weiner can't anymore because he was forced to resign today. The most important thing in America, of course, and all of the cable news networks, they were all over it. Here's a montage put together. I think this is from Media Matters. The big excitement about when Nancy Pelosi was going to speak, as the news was breaking that Pelosi was going to, Weiner was going to resign. And all of the excitement about getting her comments. Well, let's go ahead and play this, and you'll see they were disappointed when all she wanted to talk about was jobs and things that actually affect us.
On the left, you see the podium where House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi will be just about 15 minutes from now.
We had a lot more planned for you today, but obviously with the breaking news, things are being adjusted right now.
And just to point out, we are supposed to hear from Nancy Pelosi in just about 10 minutes. She had a scheduled news conference. This is definitely going to change the dynamic of what she was going to talk about.
I apologize, sir. Please come back. That's Ron Paul, now Nancy Pelosi.
Here comes Nancy Pelosi.
And here she comes into the room right
now. You got it. She's getting ready to step up to the mics. Leader Nancy Pelosi now addressing the Anthony Weiner scandal.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us once again for our regularly scheduled Thursday morning press availability. As usual, we're here to talk about jobs, about protecting Medicare, and to protecting the middle class. If you're here to ask a question about Congressman Weiner, I won't be answering any. I've made the statements I'm going to make. It's my understanding that later in the day, he will be having a press conference, and after that, I will have a statement available. I just tell you that up front. It is day 163 days since the Republicans...
All right, Dana Bash, I actually saw John Keane sort of grinning, maybe because he sort of expected that.
All right, so Nancy Pelosi saying she is not going to have any comment on Anthony Weiner's resignation.
Changing Medicaid while they give tax breaks to businesses that send jobs overseas.
So Nancy Pelosi, nothing now on Anthony Weiner, but I have to think as soon as the reporters get a shot here when she's done with her statement that this topic will come up. We'll see whether or not she gives in at that point.
So there you had Fox, MSNBC, CNN. Some of them, I don't know which one it was, actually broke away from a presidential candidate, Ron Paul. They broke away from him to go to Nancy Pelosi. Because they thought that she had news on Anthony Weiner because he was going to resign. And when it turned out that all the minority leader of the U.S. House of Representatives at a time of historic crisis, historic unemployment in this country, at a time of war, at a time when we're, you know, facing a possible default on the deficit, on the debt ceiling... The leader of the Democrats is going to talk about jobs and what matters to America. Turns out she doesn't speak about Anthony Weiner. And so the cable news groups who broke away from what they were doing to cover her then break away from her because she's not talking about this jackass over on Twitter. She wants to talk about jobs. Who cares about jobs in America? Idiots. Brad in from Alloy. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. And we will finally get to some of your calls, 877-520-1150. Man, I still got so much stuff I want to talk about. I haven't even got to talk about Wisconsin. What the hell happened there since I was last broadcasting here on the Malloy Show? But I suspect we'll do that in the days ahead. Okay, where are we here? Let's go to a call. Roger in Roger right here in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind, Roger?
Mind anyway, sitting in for Mike Malloy.
Roger, turn down your radio. Roger, what don't you? All right, we're coming back to. We're putting Roger's on hold. We'll come back to you, Roger. Boy, let's go to Mark in. There we go, Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Let's see if you have your radio turned down. What's on your mind?
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I think the country's hit the lowest I've ever seen it in my lifetime today. You know, the Democratic Party put Anthony Weiner on the chopping block, but nothing was done to George Bush, a war criminal.
Yep.
We have John Boehner and Vitter, and Boehner's been involved with lobbyists.
Yep.
The Republican Party's turned the government into a prostitution and bribery party, and I mean, there's so much going on in this country. No Democrats went to Wisconsin to help them. You know,
yep.
It's just a sad day. We've got a war on the middle class. The Republican Party is taking apart, you know, our social programs. And the Democratic Party just sitting there going along with it instead of saying that deficit's not the problem, that we need revenue, and that we need to get some infrastructure done.
Yep.
Here in this country and put people to work.
Yep.
They just sit back and let the Republican Party destroy this country. But yet, a great voice for the progressive movement is on the chopping block. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting, and they spent the time coming out in dribs and drabs each and every day. Someone else would say, "Oh, he needs to resign." Obama saying he needs to resign. Hey, President Obama, aren't you busy? Why don't you do? And pardon me, I'm getting over a cold here. But why don't you just say no comment and get on to the business of this country, because we are under assault. Mark is absolutely right. We have never seen anything like this before. And this is with a Democratic president sitting in the White House. What is it going to take?
That's what makes it worse, Brad, is that, we have a Democratic president who should be up there, with a bully pulpit saying that we need jobs and we have a revenue problem and standing up to the Republican Party who's destroying this country. And yet he doesn't do anything. And you know, it's a shame because what's happening in Wisconsin, we have a corrupt Supreme Court that needs to be called out, like, Thomas. And, I mean, it just goes on and on. The media is a joke. It's an insult to watch TV with what they're putting on there. We've got so many problems. And Anthony Weiner is the top story.
I hear you, Mark.
I can't believe
thanks.
I'm living in this country anymore.
I hear you, brother. You're making good use of it, though. You came on the airwaves and made some noise about it. That's the right thing to do. Keep it up. Thanks, Mark. I got to run. I really do appreciate it.
Okay, brother.
You bet. Let's go to Jim in Chicago, Windy City. Hey, Jim. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
How you doing, Brad?
Okay.
That guy who called earlier talking about Osama bin Goldstein.
Yeah.
He was making a reference to 1984.
Okay.
Goldstein was Big Brother's propaganda enemy.
Okay.
And, they kept chasing him all over the world.
I see.
He kept appearing here and there. So he was drawing a
Emmanuel
propaganda
Goldstein.
Conclusion.
Okay. But he also said that he thought it was fake.
Because this thing with Goldstein was fake.
Okay.
That was all for propaganda purposes in 1984.
Okay.
So that's all it was.
All right. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. And therefore, if I inappropriately said that, what happened? All the callers went away at once. What? 877-520-1150. I don't think I did that, did I? 877-520-1150. Lots of free lines now if you want to get in. Not much time left on the show. I apologize to that caller because I did suggest it was something anti-Semitic or something. I don't even know what the hell it was. And frankly, that's what I said. I wouldn't mind. You can talk about whatever you want. But he had said one thing to our screener, and then he said another thing on the air. Don't do that, please. All right. Dale, our friend Dale from Columbus, Ohio, is calling. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Dale. How are you, sir?
Okay. How are you? The windy vote city here, right?
Oh, well, something like that. Well, we'll see if they get to vote at all in Columbus. Hey, Dale, listen, let me take this opportunity. I know that you worked very hard. I presume this is the same Dale who worked on the Wisconsin election, integrity there. You were a godsend to a lot of folks. The work you did was so important in Wisconsin in this disastrous Wisconsin election recount that I haven't even gotten into today, but what a mess that was. But thank God there were people like you and Jeannie Dean, who's been watching our chat room, and folks in the Facebook election integrity page. I just want to say thank you on behalf of everyone in this nation for giving a damn about election integrity and fighting, you know, not for a candidate or, you know, a specific candidate, but fighting for there to be an election with integrity where we don't have thousands of ballots in open ballot bags, misdated poll tapes, and everything else. So that's a long way to say thanks. Thanks, Dale.
Thanks, Brad. I really appreciate that. You don't know how much it means to me. What the thing I wanted to talk to you about was now, just like in Texas, if you remember, there were ghost voting legislators.
Right.
Legislators, they would push buttons for the other guy while he's out, God knows where, doing what.
Well, yeah, in theory, just so people understand that, this is in the legislature down in Texas. You're allowed to vote for someone else, in theory.
They're doing it in Wisconsin now, too. And this, I mean, this is, they're worried about stealing votes, and then here they are doing it. And this is not... This is concentrated power now. Like, all the people that supposedly elected them and put them in office, their power is collectively aggregated into that person, and then somebody else is pressing that person's button.
Well, and as you know, as you know, they're not really worried about stealing people's votes. That's nonsense. As a matter of fact, they would love to steal your vote. So that's obviously phony. But listen, if that's what they're doing, if they're giving people the permission to do this, we had a video. It was a year or two ago at Brad Blog. You know, this video showing how it was done in Texas. That one assembly person or whatever it was there in the state legislature would go around and vote for their friends who were not there. Theoretically, they were voting the way that that person would have voted anyway, but who knows? And that at the same time that they're out there claiming that everyone else in the world is committing voter fraud and we've got to put in these photo ID restrictions, which they are now successfully doing in Wisconsin, in Texas, and everywhere else.
At the cost of the public money for elections, they stole that money from the voters there and said, oh, we're going to spend it because we want to put more restrictions on your voting rights. I'm not going to say the F word, but you know what I mean.
Thank you for not saying the F word. And thanks, Dale, for everything you're doing. Keep raising hell. The recalls are coming up in Wisconsin. The January is in July. And in January, we're probably going to see a recall against Scott Walker. And then next year is going to be your and my worst nightmares as we try to oversee this disastrous election system in this country.
Great people there working on pulling paper ballots into the picture, and this is a scenario. Whether it's going to happen or not, we'll see. But they're pushing as hard as they can to get that done before the recall. So I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But
good luck. Good luck to us
Brad,
all.
For everything you've done, too. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you. 877-520-1150. If you don't know about it, most people don't. Open ballot bags in the town of Brookfield in Waukesha County in Wisconsin. To this day, by the way, I don't believe the state election authority, the Government Accountability Board, they still haven't received the minutes from the Waukesha recount, and yet they certified the race. They certified the race without examining hundreds and hundreds of pieces of evidence, objections by the candidate. The state election authority certified it as correct. The results as correct. Open ballot bags, poll tapes dated, printed, dated 7 days before the election itself. Duct tape ballot bags, serial numbers crossed out and changed. Serial numbers missing. No chain of custody. Thousands of miscounted ballots. Thousands of ballots that no one knows if they're the same ballots that were cast on Election Day in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. for a 10-year term. A 10-year term that David Prosser now enjoys, this Republican supporter of Scott Walker's, gives the Republicans a 4-3 advantage in Wisconsin. And what do you know? They just said that Scott Walker's union-busting law was just fine and dandy by them. The open meeting law that they violated when they passed it. Well, David Prosser and the other Republicans on the state Supreme Court said, you know what? That open meetings law, it doesn't apply to the legislature. Because they say so. So, what open meeting law? Who cares? I bet we'll be talking more about that this week, next week. Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Yeah, good to hear you again, Brad.
There we go. Good. Thank you.
Do you think Obama should be trying to get congressional approval for further action in Libya?
Yes.
Okay. And also, have you heard that Al-Qaeda is one of the major groups in the rebels fighting against Gaddafi, and we're backing Al-Qaeda there?
I have heard that. I don't know if it's true, and I think it might be a stretch to say that we are backing them specifically, but I take your point. And, yeah, that should be debated, that should be discussed, and we should not be going to war until we get approval by Congress, the U.S. Constitution, but I'm old-fashioned that way. Thanks,
okay.
Thanks, Ron.
I just wanted to check.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your call. Thank you, brother.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Norman in, where are we here? Norman in Crescent City, California. A lot of California calls today. Hey, Norman, what's on your mind, brother?
I just wanted to make a comment. I read on the web today about the nuclear power accident that they had in Nebraska.
It was not an accident, was it? It's a concern that the floodwaters are rising there. Is this the one you're talking about?
Yes, but there was also reported on Hawaiian news service that a fire had broken out there.
Okay.
And my concern is that they immediately issued a no-fly zone for 2 miles around the perimeter of the power site. Which tells me that they don't want people looking in to see what's really and truly going on there.
Are you saying that
because
our public...
Because what can you see from 2 miles? You can't, why not make it a half mile or something like that if they're worried about a plane crash?
Well, or they're worried about radiation that may be... I mean, one of the problem is the river is rising, as I understand it. It threatens to knock out the... diesel power generators that are needed to keep the nuclear plant cool. Sounding familiar, Fukushima fans?
Yes, exactly. And what they're saying, it was a minor accident and that they got it under control. But my feeling is that if they're not allowing anybody near there, they haven't got it under control. And I just want to make one more comment.
Very
about,
quickly.
A lot of people don't know, the media doesn't cover, is that the Fukushima plant is now over 400 miles away. They're finding radiation damage and dangerous nuclear radiation. No one's been covering that in the media.
You're right.
And they also did not mention that an engineer who worked for them was fired because he blew the whistle on them about 3 years ago. And that site was not... trouble before the earthquake.
And Norman, I know you're right, and the media is doing a woeful job there. The radiation at Fukushima Daiichi plant is now higher than it has been since the March 11th accident. I got to get to a break,
right.
Norman. Sorry, don't mean to cut you off. Thank you for getting those getting the words out over the public airwaves. Wish there was a lot more folks like you. Brad in for Malloy. Stay with us. Is internal combustion power, and Satan is my motor. My thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino.
or TESOR here at LA's K-Talk AM. I like it. I like it. TESOR. I like it. At LA's K-Talk AM 1150, who have been hosting us here. Thank you for that. My producer, Desi Doyen, and call screener and everything else that she was tonight, as well, I think, Jeannie Dean. Yes, Jeannie Dean was our lovely chat room hostess along with Des tonight at the brandblog.com chat room. Thank you, ladies, very much for that. Well, by the way, we can get to a few more calls at 877-520-1150. If you want to get in, don't wait. Now's your chance. Last second, 877-520-1150. 520-1150. Thanks also to my guest tonight, Ernie Kenning, who will have more on the Neil Bortz incitement to murder tomorrow at bradblog.com, and to Fred Karger, 2012 Republican presidential candidate, who is here in the studio with us. If you missed that interview or anything else, we will have it up late night tonight at bradblog.com. Or, you know, do us all a favor. Go to MikeMalloy.com and become a podcast subscriber. Support independent progressive radio over your public airwaves. Thanks, of course, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in tonight. I will be back tomorrow. And if you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. Although I think he's at the Netroots Nation with all the cool kids. All right, a couple more calls here. 877-520-1150. You'll have to keep it short and sweet because I don't got a lot of time. Bill in Hayward, California. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, Brad. Okay, my point is I was curious if this fellow who had the photographs of Wiener, how did he get so many? And might there not have been an intelligence operation against him to get him off Clarence Thomas? That's my point.
Well, you know, Andrew Breitbart, the liar over there from BigGovernment.com, he was involved in this thing to some extent.
Right.
So clearly it wasn't an intelligence operation because he ain't got any. But I, you know what? I don't think it was to get him off of this Clarence Thomas case because he did it himself. He, you know, mistweeted that original picture. All
did
the others
tweet so many.
Well, no, those weren't mistweeted. After that, the floodgates open. They start, you know, paying off people to you know, make them famous. Show us your Anthony Wiener photos. And, you know, and that's how it happened. And, of course, they all want to...
You're too trusting, I think, so.
You think so? All right.
Well...
There. Maybe you're right.
Maybe. Okay.
Okay.
Nice to hear your viewpoint anyway, and I like your style, and I think you're doing a great job.
Much appreciate that, Bill. Thanks for thanks for calling. Yeah. Oh, what happened to the guy? There was a guy who said I was being too good, too kind to Anthony Wiener. He dropped off. Well, call us tomorrow and tell me why I'm being... too nice, too generous. I was going to go to you first. I think it was Andy or something. Gwen in Plano. Oh, Plano, Texas. Fort Plano, as I like to call it. Gwen, what's on your mind very quickly here, my friend?
I am so tired of voter fraud. We have got the worst, the worst governor.
Yeah. Who's that?
Other than George W. Bush.
Oh, Rick Perry. What do you mean? You're tired of voter fraud? What voter fraud are you talking about?
The
what?
You're stupid.
Who? What? What are you talking about, Gwen? What voter fraud are you talking about?
These people don't know how to vote.
What do you mean they don't know how to vote? They're voting for the wrong person?
Correct.
That's not fraud. That's stupidity. And you're in Texas. So straighten them out. Appreciate
it.
Okay. Well, keep up the good work. Straighten them out, Texas. Please, somebody, mess with Texas. All right. We'll be back here tomorrow night. Same Brad time, same Brad channel, right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Until then, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Thanks, America. Keep it lit.